This is Simon Walker, chairman of Constellation, the Huntsworth Group of communications agencies, Grayling, Citygate, Dew Rogerson, Red, and Quiller. Over the past few weeks, we've been holding breakfast briefings on navigating business through the COVID-19 noise with leaders of business, the media, and politics. The feedback from our invited audience was so strong, we thought we should share them on a wider platform. So here are the first four, which we have turned into 20-minute podcasts, which I hope you will find insightful and useful. We live in uncertain times. As a former Director General of the Institute of Directors, I know that many businesses up and down this country are feeling the economic strain of coronavirus. Uncertain times mean change and innovation, which the communications industry has to embrace if it's to help and support its clients. Whether it's about training, employee engagement, risk, or reputation, the times ahead will be challenging, but will offer huge and exciting opportunities for businesses going forward. We as advisors just need to be even more creative and innovative in order to help clients through the emergence out of COVID. Our fourth briefing was with Steve Bates, Chief Executive of the Bioindustry Association, the trade association of innovative life sciences in Britain. Steve is a regular commentator on the sector, and before joining the association, he was Chief of Staff to John Reid during Tony Blair's government. Steve shares with us how the life sciences sector is cohabiting with COVID-19.
Well, I hope it's not exclusive cohabitation in the way of Professor Lockdown. I fear it's one of the things that we're all living with COVID-19 in some way. And I'll tell you what, it's not a cheap relationship, is it? I see from figures this morning that the cost to the UK taxpayer is £124 billion and counting. £124 billion and counting. £80 billion of that in the support for furlong staff from the Treasury. So you can see why I think in economic terms, it's vital that as we learn to live with COVID-19, we have a way of making the economy work as well. Delighted to be with you, and fantastic to be with the Citygate Dew Rogerson family. You're a key part of our ecosystem in the life sciences sector, and delighted to share some perspectives with your community. I suppose I hope you've got me on because the BIA sits in a really interesting place. We sit at the centre of a triangle, which is innovative science companies, innovative businesses. Who are looking at new business models and engaging that with a political or governmental framework. So for me, it's been a fascinating and very busy time. And if people are interested in thoughts around how's the vaccine task force working, how are the UK developing vaccines, I've got some experience of that. I'm also close to the therapeutics task force of the UK government and some thinking about how clinical trials can develop here. And also I've worked very closely on the scaling of some of the new diagnostics capacity, particularly the innovative diagnostics capacity in the UK, and I've got some thoughts on that. So if people are interested in any of those three sort of areas, they can get quite technical quite quickly. I know we've probably got a broad group on the call today. I'm happy to dive into that in deep sense or take some general questions. But I mean, I suppose in simple terms, the way that I see this is I think that COVID-19 or living with COVID-19 is doing two things for life sciences and healthcare more generally. One, it's making it more important, and secondarily, it's changing it fundamentally. And if I can, I'm just going to talk a little bit on those two themes, why healthcare and life sciences is now more important, and then a little bit how that sector or our sector has changed and our interaction with other parts of businesses and government has changed as well. So why is it more important? Well, it's simply become healthcare or life sciences has become a bigger part of the conversation that we're all having about our entire lives now. It's having an impact in all aspects of the economy, whether that be, its role in government thinking. You can see that in the prominence of the health secretary, Matt Hancock. You think about how often he's on the telly or doing the stuff. I mean, it's hard to think, but in the 1960s, the Secretary of State for Health wasn't a Secretary of State for Health. It was a junior minister role, health, and now that's unthinkable, and I think it will become even more important. I think in business terms, I mean, I've had some interesting chats with people I never thought I would have chats with, like football clubs, around how you run a diagnostic capacity for your staff. Hospitality is thinking this through. Retail is thinking this through. You know, Heathrow are thinking now about how they're going to do to do testing at airports. So healthcare is seeping through into many of these other businesses that perhaps hadn't considered it more important for businesses. And I think in families and as individuals, we're thinking through what this means for us. We're all taking more responsibility. Many of us are taking more responsibility for our own health. We're thinking about, or we're wearing masks when we go out. We're thinking about others. We're certainly thinking about our community, whether it's clapping for carers or whether it's thinking about contacts with more elderly or frail members of our family and how to do that effectively. And what's also interesting from a markets or a business perspective is AstraZeneca is now Britain's most valuable company this week. I mean, who'd have thought that from peer a few weeks ago? So more important. And the other aspect I was going to talk about is change. I think what's changed in our sector has changed very, very fast. So if you've got something to do with COVID-19 or you're pivoting to do something on COVID-19, then your value is going up massively as a company. And we can see that in the data on small companies, whether it be Stabilitec, whether it be some of the ones in America, Moderna's and others. You're seeing a real boost in some of the diagnostics businesses, again, Thermo Fisher, others, really seeing amazing trends against stock market positions. Primary care has fundamentally changed. I mean, as my 96-year-old nan zooms me at the weekend and my dad berates his doctors for not offering Zoom consultations like they should be, you realise that that's not where they were 8 or 10 weeks ago. And the idea that they're going to go back to some sort of pottering down the road for primary care, I think is gone forever. And I think that and then unlocks a whole host of things about the geography of primary care workforce, how that operates, telemedicine. And that's not just for, hipsters who've got the latest iPhone. The NHS has been fundamentally reorganised at least twice. So once to stand up for COVID and now probably standing back from COVID. Nobody realises or nobody mentions the fact that debt in the NHS has been fundamentally changed. So lots of the things that drove activity have changed. And we also have an NHS where lots of the staff have done something fundamentally different. They've all been rushed in to be ICU intensive care workers. That will lead people to think about their careers, think about their trajectories, think about whether they want to go back. And it also means that some of the things that were very hard to do in workforce terms have been shown that the workforce is incredibly flexible, certainly in a crisis. How will that happen? The UK's diagnostic capability has fundamentally changed. We now have Lighthouse Labs able to do hundreds of thousands of tests a week. If we're not testing for COVID, which I think we will be for a period of time, if you wanted to turn that into some capability that could do other types of testing, perhaps pre-screening for either infectious or non-infectious diseases or conditions, you could probably do that now, which you couldn't do at Christmas. And the UK's clinical trial capability is changed fundamentally. In some part for our sector, people's trials have been disrupted and it may be hard to put them back together. But on another level, there's some really interesting ways in which COVID-19 trials are happening and how the mixture of both testing capability, understanding what's going on in people's blood, whether they've got antibodies, can be linked to clinical trial capability, particularly for vaccines, which is what I've spent the last couple of weeks on, to give you some really interesting understanding and knowledge in which the UK can lead the world. So I think hopefully that gives people a flavour of what I've been doing. I think there's opportunities for investors. I think there's opportunities for companies. I think there's opportunities for the next generation in science, because many people will have had conversations with their children or about what this is, and they'll have had massive exposure to it. There's opportunities for individuals to self-manage their health, and that has opportunities for business. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for the interaction between the life science sector, which I come from, with other sectors that we wouldn't normally have spoken to. And that's why I think this discussion with a group which has some people who are life science specialists, but others perhaps who are coming to it new or touching it for the first time, is really important. And I thank you for the opportunity.
Steve went on to cover a range of topics raised by the 100 business leaders and health professionals logged on to the briefing. Key points were Health is now front of mind for business, individuals, and government. Individuals are thinking about their health in new ways while changing their behavior as consumers. Businesses are thinking through the introduction of social distancing measures and testing employees. In the 1960s, the role of health minister was a junior ministerial position. Now that's unthinkable. Health and safety could reshape how we shop and work. Whether a business is providing an office, shop, or event space, COVID-19 necessitates a new approach to risk analysis. There are all sorts of legal issues about who is responsible. Businesses have some responsibilities, but workers and customers might have too. The NHS has been fundamentally reorganized twice this year. In the past 5 months, the NHS has had to change once to get ready for COVID-19 and is now changing again to wind down its COVID-19 response. Physical infrastructure has changed. Staff have taken on new roles. Decision makers and staff now have fresh incentives to keep changing the NHS. The UK's response to COVID-19 has been limited by existing capabilities. Britain did not have as much diagnostic capability as some countries. We also lacked the mindset that countries who faced MERS and SARS had. In those areas, we had to step up quickly. However, on things like vaccine development, we are continuing to take a leading global role. International comparisons are difficult. Only time will tell what the best approach to tackling COVID-19 was. We'll probably just look at whoever was least infected and say, we should have done that. Change provides opportunities. Many healthcare companies, particularly smaller ones, have seen their share price rise. There is a growth in demand for online primary care. Diagnostic capacity in the UK has been upgraded significantly and could be turned into screening for infectious or non-infectious diseases. Collaboration delivers success. We've seen extraordinary collaboration between the public and private sector. The Lighthouse Labs saw the army, universities, public sector organizations, and others come together in a new way. Whether things go back to old ways will be contested. Some people will see efficiencies, but others will resist this. Tensions remain between globalization and protectionism. AstraZeneca is now the UK's largest company. It retains a strong heritage in its parent companies, Sweden and Britain, but it has succeeded partly through globalization. On the other hand, we've seen the German courts introduce protections for strategically important businesses, such as those in healthcare. COVID-19 will exacerbate Brexit challenges. At present, there is no legal way to dispense drugs into Northern Ireland, and the negotiations aren't progressing well. If we face a hard Brexit at the end of the year, stockpiling will also be harder, as COVID-19 will cause additional demand. Scientists are happy to be part of policy debates. For many in the scientific community, being in the headlines has been a novelty. Research institutions and universities also often lack in-house communications. This has caused some confusion, but the scientific community are keen to promote public engagement. We hope you enjoyed this insightful and interesting discussion.